those who are frequently open to and hearing misinformation, perhaps based on the news that they themselves seek out, are more likely to be those overconfident sharers of information.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, my conversation with Trudy Jacobson. The distinguished librarian at the University at Albany is the head of the Information Literacy Department. It comes as a new study from the University of Utah finds up to three-quarters of us overestimate our ability to spot fake news stories. And the worse we are, the more likely we are to share misinformation. Well, that's a conundrum for people like me in the real news, but also for people like Trudy Jacobson. We spoke on Tuesday.
Meta-literacy is a way of sort of thinking about the world and one's place in it, specifically in connection with information. So if one is a meta-literate individual, one is considering sort of the ethical and responsible use of information, whether one is consuming that information, is sharing it, is collaborating with others in connection with information.
How do you become meta-literate?
It takes some effort. I think the first thing is being aware of it. So there's several main components to it that sort of bring it down from those lofty heights to reality. One is understanding that there are different learning domains, not just the cognitive, sort of what it is that we know when we've learned something, or the behavioral, what one can do, but also the affective, so how you feel about it, how emotions impact your learning, and the metacognitive, reflecting on what it is you're learning, what you still need to learn, where gaps may be. Besides the learning domains, there are also roles. So if one sees oneself as an information producer and understands the responsibilities that connect with that, then it sort of grounds one. There's also roles such as a participant, communicator, author, teacher of others, even if one isn't officially a teacher, or a researcher. And the third, beyond the learning domains and the roles, are characteristics. So sort of putting that together. So if you're a collaborative individual, if you are civic-minded, adaptable, productive, that type of thing.
Are we becoming more literate, meta-literate in what you're seeing?
Well, I would love to say yes, but studies such as the one you cited at the beginning of when you opened this interview show that there's a lot of issues with that. So this study found that not only are about three-quarters of Americans sort of overestimating their relative sort of ability to distinguish sort of false from true news, those who are overconfident are more likely to share it. And you mentioned the sharing issue. And that's really causing a great many problems. It also found that those who are frequently open to and hearing misinformation, perhaps based on the news that they themselves seek out, are more likely to be those overconfident sharers of information. And overconfident individuals, they find, are less likely to be open to learning about some of these issues. So there's sort of a vicious circle here, but in the work that I do with students, as they become aware of the meta-literacy framework and their roles and the learning domains, it seems to open up a window for them to think more consciously about what it is that they need to do to be responsible citizens. So I think that there's hope. There's also other initiatives that are going on that are attempting to address this issue. So there's the Open Mind Project, which is meant for students, but it's also available for businesses. And they've written content that helps people think about how open they are to other ideas, to discussing things with others. A great deal of this is based on your dispositions, your willingness to be open. And meta-literacy is asking individuals to think about this, as are other projects like the open-minded one.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if I'm hearing you correctly, you're really pointing to the importance of liberal education, lowercase l. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Because so much of what's available in that type of education, so the liberal arts and sciences, is exposure to other ideas, to other cultures, taking you outside of your own mindset. And I think that that's absolutely critical.
Preparing for this interview, you suggested that people should take this common misconceptions test, which I did. It was an interesting thought experiment for someone, you know, who's steeped in the news every day. And I think I've got a pretty good meter for real versus fake information. I mean, that's how I make my living. Tell us a little bit about it. It was going through the test. Once you actually had to sort of put your money where your mouth is to determine if something was true or false, it did change my perspective a little bit.
And mine as well. Ian, when you did it, did you sort of do the enhanced version where you indicated how confident you were in your answer?
Yeah, and that's when I started to second guess myself.
Yes, yes. So there's two parts to this, as you know. First, they weren't using headlines so much as sort of common facts, or what people think of perhaps as common facts. And you had to say whether that was true or not. I was a little bit distressed that some of these I thought were not quite as common as I might have expected. And then if you do the enhanced one, not only do you say yes or no to it, you have the opportunity to say how confident you are in your response. And you gain or lose points, and you can determine how many points you want to do. And so you find out. And so they really are looking at this idea of overconfidence, which I think is very interesting in connection with this study, to see how individuals did. And I have to say, I was a little disturbed at my results.
How come?
Well, first of all, I you mentioned second guessing. And so I was, even when I was pretty sure something was right, I wasn't betting many points on it. So I ended up sort of solidly in the middle of the pack.
It's funny to think about that exercise in the context of our current politics. We're covering stories about how millions of Americans are convinced that the last election was stolen. Millions of Americans are convinced that the vaccine for COVID-19 is something that it's not. And it makes me wonder, you know, in your line of work, how you can work to counter some of these trends.
Yes, and it's challenging. It really is. Because it used to be, and I've been in the field quite a while, that you could refer students and others to scholarly articles, you know, where there's evidence to back up what they're saying. But the sense of skepticism now has become so rife that authority itself is questioned. And so being able to refer people to sources that do have authority it is no longer what it used to be. And so everything seems to be very relative to everyone. And it's hard to break through that. One of the things that I do with my students in one of my courses is I have them write content for Wikipedia, and they go through a training program for doing that. And I have found through their reflections that they find, unlike some of what they found in this study, where people who are overconfident and were not very good at discerning true from false information were sharing it quite widely, my students took a great deal of sense of responsibility because they knew that so many people worldwide could be looking at this. So with meta-literacy, thinking about becoming an information producer, sharing it more broadly, can have the impact of making one feel that one is responsible and one has to do a really good job.
Is the problem largely, you know, the speed of information? Is that factoring into the spread?
I think that does have some impact on it. But what I'm really concerned about is social media and the fact, you know, unlike the press that you represent, there's absolutely no controls on it. You know, that very old cartoon, you know, on the internet, no one knows you're a dog kind of thing. You don't know where any of this is coming from. It may be people who are sharing it without checking on it more carefully. It could be people who are deliberately trying to misinform and mislead. So there's the speed, but there's also the way people are getting their news that's having a major impact.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. In your own work, in your research, is malign action part of previous consideration? Because, you know, you're talking about people who are pursuing knowledge and they want to be right. There are students who are trying to become more, you know, rounded and steeped in fact and double checking sources and things like that. In our current politics, we've got a lot of malign actors who are propagating, you know, misinformation to achieve political ends or whatever. But I'm sure that it's taken some time to catch up to that.
Yes. And I think because people can't discern true from false, they are not as aware of it as they should be. I mean, when you hear about people falling for scams, you know, the grandchild needing money type of thing, the Social Security Department calling, and, you know, it's just people, I hate to want people to be more sort of cynical, but I think they need to be more concerned and sort of critical in the sense of willing to look into things. I don't know, you know, a lot in the news lately about hackers, you know, hacking into systems. Is there a point at which people might realize that there are a lot of these malevolent forces out there in a variety of different ways and be more careful? I don't know, you know, if people are really used to hearing information that is blatantly incorrect, but they accept it as real, you know, I think sort of all bets are off.
How did you get interested in this sort of work?
My background is in information literacy, which originally sort of starts with sort of students being able to use information in a way that will allow them to succeed in their academic programs. It's since become broader, not just, you know, how do you search a database for information, but thinking about the idea of authority being constructed and contextual, for example, or the fact that information has value, much more conceptual in nature. But the information literacy standards, which were in effect until 2015, 2016, were very behavioral in nature. And a colleague, Dr. Thomas Mackey of Empire State College, and I really sort of got off into trying to think about what it is individuals need to be successful information producers and consumers, and took this direction of meta-literacy, which has really sort of veered off from information literacy.
Are you a pessimist or an optimist about where things are going?
I would love to be an optimist.
Me too.
But I just think that people really need to engage with the sort of these this open mind project. But if they don't have the disposition to have an open mind, that's probably the last thing they're going to do. So education is so important. You asked about liberal education earlier. And starting in K through 12, really having people think about their cognitive biases, the filter bubbles they live in, so that they can become more aware.
Is there anything I didn't ask you about that you'd like to add?
Well, if people are interested, I'd love to have you take a look at metaliteracy.org. There is a section there on metaliteracy in practice, and there are all sorts of things that one can do either as an individual or if you're a teacher yourself that you can use with students. But I really appreciate your asking me about these things, Ian, and having a chance to share sort of the research that I do.
It's fascinating, and I really appreciate your time. That's Trudy Jacobson from the University at Albany. She's a distinguished librarian and head of the UAlbany Information Literacy Department. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time. I'm Ian Pickus.